what brings us together today.
Ah, marriage, raising kids, building a family. Those were the things we dreamed of.
Tuck your daughter in!
Go away!
Just calm down.
I've given you the best years of my life.
Take out the trash!
Yeah, I'll get to it.
I want a divorce!
Welcome to Thrive with Pastor Brad Bigney, diving into what it means to thrive, not merely survive in marriage, parenting, and family life. And now your host, this is Pastor Brad Bigney.
Well, you're listening to Thrive. I'm your host, Brad Bigney, and we are digging into communication, and I've got my wife because it takes two to communicate.
That's right.
So thank you, babe, for being ready to share your thoughts on this as well, because, wow, this is not automatic.
No.
And if you don't lean into it and be intentional and don't have a mindset of a learner thinking, mm-hmm. all right, we're going to have to learn this together. We're going to have to get better. One of the biggest things I would help that I hope would diffuse some of your sense of frustration and disappointment is stop expecting everything in your marriage to automatically work.
Right.
I know God thought of marriage, and so you might just think, if this was His idea, why is this so hard?
I've often thought that.
Ooh, that thought has run across my mind, but let me help you why it's so hard. Sin was introduced into the equation, and it was not there originally.
And I do think Satan does not want our marriages.
Yeah, two big right. factors. Sin is in the middle of this.
Right.
And it wreaks havoc on every level. And our enemy Satan, believe it or not, he hates marriage more than any other relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Not band of brothers that served in a war together. Not girlfriends, best friends. Not siblings, not church members. He hates all human beings, but oh my goodness, he hates marriage because God intended to put on display something beautiful. Now, notice I didn't say something perfect,
uh-huh.
but something beautiful related to love and relationship and forgiveness and acceptance and encouraging one another. All the best things in relationships that God wanted to reflect to our world, He was intending to do it in this thing called marriage. But oh, you'll have to learn to talk, learn to communicate, go to the school of communication and say, help me, God. All of us start at a certain point, but nobody is an expert. You may think just because you talk, oh, I don't have a problem with talking. Oh, tap the brakes a minute. It doesn't mean you're a good communicator.
True.
There are people that talk and they talk a lot, but so much of what they say is not helpful. It's not encouraging. It doesn't build up the relationship. It's like dropping hand grenades along the way. And they're like, well, I just tell it like it is. And I just had to get that off my chest.
Right. That's communicating, but it's not biblical communication.
Yes. So we're talking about stewardship of words. Use them. Oh, next step. Use them well, which means use them in a way God has called us to use them. But I love it. Every now and then in our world, notice how often I say, oh, we got to turn to God's word. He says so much to us, and He says so much to us about this because He's a communicating God, and we're created in His image. But our world, every now and then, stumbles across truth. They do. Everything that's written out there that's secular is not heinous. And I got a couple of news feeds that I read, and I grab anything that looks like it's something to do with marriage or communication. And I grabbed an article that came across my news feed the other day, and it's a psychologist who's done an in-depth study this very year with couples. And it caught my attention because he said, here are five things that healthy couples actually talk about. And I thought, huh, I'd like to check that out. I kid you not. When I read it, I found myself saying, by God's grace, and I shared it with Vicky.
Right.
By God's grace.
They've stumbled onto some truth.
We do these five things. Now, we're going to tell you what they are in the shows ahead as we unpack it. But Vicky, do you believe we were doing these five things when we first got married?
No.
No.
No, we really weren't.
We really weren't. And
so we had, and once again, I like this phrase, you know, do you want to learn things? You can either live and learn things the hard way. That's what we did with our marriage. And that's one reason we have such a heart for marriage now is please learn from our mistakes. If there's anything you can learn from us, we're just willing to share because there's some things, if you do it right from the start, it really helps the relationship to thrive instead of learning. You can either live and learn the hard way or you can learn things and then live accordingly.
And then live it out.
It's much better.
You can either live and learn and it's very painful or you can learn. And God would love for us to learn and live, A, from His Word, B, from other people who have already been through it. And that's who you're listening to on this Thrive show.
Not perfect.
Not perfect, but two people that lived through it are bearing the pain and the scars from it. And we would love for you to live it out, flesh it out sooner.
Yes.
Sooner rather than later. And so here's what he says. I'll tee it up this way. The conversations in a healthy marriage stay fresh, connected, and meaningful because they never stop learning about each other. We thumped that in the last show. And they, whether intentionally or not, they regularly traffic in these five areas. Here's the first. They talk about the state of their relationship. Mm-hmm. That doesn't have to be that formal, like the presidential address in January, State of the Union. And I hope you realize that's not what we're talking about. Sometimes couples think, okay, we will every once in a blue moon have this big, serious meeting where we say, how's the state of our relationship? How are we doing?
That's not what we're talking about. Yeah.
Everything we've been bringing you in these shows, I hope you realize and have been hearing it, regular, ordinary, sprinkled all along the way in ordinary life, will get you to a much, much better place and much more healthy rather than once in a while you do this thing.
Right. And I would say at the beginning of our relationship, we never did this.
No.
We did not see how our relationship was going. We didn't talk to each other.
Well, and some of it was, we've said it before, if every time you try to talk about the relationship, it goes sideways, you dread ever trying to talk about it.
And you're accusing the other person of what they're doing wrong.
If it turns adversarial and you're attacking each other and it's a skirmish or a full-blown war, then you end up wanting to step back and say, I don't want to talk about our relationship. So if that's where you are at a stalemate, ask God. Say, God, we don't want to stay stuck here.
Right.
Let's, with faith in God, let's venture towards that point again. And just think, we've said it before, but here's how you should begin that if you're stuck. Go asking questions, not making accusations.
I really like that.
Just
say that
lots
again.
Of questions. How do you think we're doing? And then don't take offense at what she says next.
Right.
Do you really want to know?
Mm-hmm.
Do you really want to know what he thinks? Venture into that again.
I really
pray
like
first.
That. Go asking questions, not making accusations.
Yep.
And that's, we were doing the making accusations part.
Quickly, we were hurling accusations.
That's not going to help
your
relationship.
You want to talk about the state of your relationship, and questions are how to get there. Even like I've gone to Vicky multiple times through the years now and said, what? Because here's what's so funny. A guy or a wife can get all excited about doing better, and they just start working on an area that they think would help them do better.
Right.
And guess what? Might not even be that important to their spouse.
Mm-hmm.
So I've said to Vicky multiple times throughout the years, if I was just going to work on two or three areas, what would you want me to work on?
Mm-hmm.
And then fire in on that. So they talk about the state of the relationship. In other words, every now and then, ask, how are you doing? How are you doing? I know this was a hard week last week. You had a big project at work, or, I know you just had that hard situation with your brother or your sister.
Mm-hmm.
Or just be willing to draw them out, is what I call it, on how they're doing, feelings. You're connecting.
Right. And this doesn't mean we're not talking even a 20 or 30 minute conversation. We're just saying check in, and it just gives the other partner an opportunity to say, well, I'm glad you asked. This has really been bothering me, or this was a hard week. This happened with my mom, and not really sure how to handle this with, you know, John, our son, and what's happening in school. So I think that's a great point to ask that question. How are you doing?
Yeah. But let me bring the caution again. We said it in a previous show, but I feel like I need to say it again. When they begin to answer, just listen. Mm-hmm. Do not use a stunting comment like, oh, it's all good. Oh, it's going to be fine. God's got it. Let them talk as long as they want. And like Vicky just said, I think when things aren't good and you've never done it before, people can think, oh, they would talk forever.
Right. It's kind of terrifying.
They really won't.
Right.
If you didn't interrupt them and you gave them eye contact and you truly listened and then you, at a bare minimum, just said, I'm so sorry. Mm-hmm. That sounds really hard. Wow. So you talk about the state of the relationship and you ask how they're doing. Another way that these couples that are healthy, and that's what we want, and I hope it's what you want, in the way they talk about the relationship is they want to make sure, does your spouse feel supported? Mm-hmm. And by that I mean, are you doing the things that mean the most to them? And again, it can be a surprise to you, and it can be disorienting, and it might not match your list of what you think is most important, but you need to regularly be assessing, either to yourself or by verbally asking them, mm-hmm. what is it that would help support them in life? We're supposed to be a team. That's right. The goal of marriage, team.
And I really like that word.
We're going to take a break, and then we're going to come back and talk about what does it look like to be a team, and how would you lean into making sure your spouse feels supported and appreciated? We'll be right back.
And we'll be back with more from Brad and Vicky in just a moment, who are walking through what actually is talked about in healthy relationships with healthy couples. Brad said something a minute ago that I think you need to put in your pocket and hang on to. You might not even realize how profound it was. You can either live and learn the hard way, or you can learn and then live accordingly. Hey, look, that's the whole reason Thrive exists, so couples can learn from the scars instead of actually earning their own. And here's how you make sure those lessons continue to reach not just you and your spouse, but the next couple after you. You do that by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner with us here at Fortis Institute. Yeah, head to fortisinstitute.org right now and get all of the information about what it means to be a gospel partner. The steady support from our gospel partners, who are men and women just like you, that's what keeps Thrive on the air for the husband and the wife who are right now learning everything the hard way and don't yet know that there's a better path. Look, if this podcast, and I can't imagine that it hasn't, has spared your marriage some pain, that's how you pass it forward. Listen, you can get all of the answers to all of the questions you have about what it would look like in your life at fortisinstitute.org. While you're there, grab the mobile app and download it to your smartphone, your smart TV, or you can go to fortisplus.org, but it is absolutely free of charge. You want to have access to Fortis Plus, and we have removed any hindrance for you using it. There are no barriers, no strings. The full Thrive catalog is there, and everything you could ever possibly want from any of the fellows who work with Fortis Institute. Dr. Greg Gifford, Dr. Adam Tyson, Dr. John Krotz, Libby Glosson, Dr. Jason Lyle, Todd Friel, all of the content they're creating is found right there on Fortis Plus. It's all free, and we're adding new content every single day. And one last favor that I want to ask of you before we get back to Brad and Vicky. Think about what this podcast has done for you. Now, picture a couple that you know who is living and learning the hard way right now. You know someone. I know you do. We all do. Whether there are people in your family or you go to church with them, but you know a young couple right now who is living and learning lessons the hard way. Send them this episode. Let Brad and Vicky save them from a few scars. Send it to them today. And now let's get back to Brad and Vicky. This is Thrive.
Welcome back to Thrive.
You're exactly like your mother.
Are you kidding me?
Life with you was joyless.
And now back to your host, Pastor Brad Bigney.
Oh, welcome back. You're listening to Thrive, and we're talking about how to get our marriage off life support and onto a healthy path where it's breathing in and out the oxygen of love and mercy from our Savior, and then mercy and love to our spouse. And at the heart of this is communication. And so sometimes couples don't realize how often the communication just treads water and stays so superficial. Who's taking so-and-so to the sports? What time's that event? What about the water heater? I got to drop the car off. plenty of life is consumed with that. A healthy marriage ends up talking about five areas that very often some couples never talk about. And the first one we were on was the state of the relationship itself. Draw them out. How are you feeling? How are you doing? I know it's been hard lately. Mm-hmm. And then do they feel supported or appreciated?
And I think especially with feeling supported, you have to communicate to your spouse, what does that look like? I remember early in our marriage, we were having people come over and
I was
just running around trying to get, you know, dishes ready and get something out of the oven. And I looked and Brad's got a chair and he's cleaning off the top of the refrigerator. And I just remember thinking, oh my word, like no one is going to see up there. Like, come help me. Yeah. So I think part of it is before we get to that point, just say, hey, would you mind taking all the chairs and making sure there's no crumbs in them and wiping the table off where we're going to play games so there's not sticky jelly. You know, it's okay to ask. I think before I wasn't really afraid to ask. I just didn't know that was okay to say, would you mind wiping off the table? I mean, give him an option, but he doesn't know what you need. He's up cleaning off the top of the refrigerator.
And then what can become even better is I finally settled down, and it took me a few years,
but
hear
really
this.
Good at this.
I just thought to myself, I am doing the things that I think are most important, which usually were just something that I don't know why, my brain's wired differently, that no one's even going to see. And one of the sweetest, best things I can do that causes Vicky to feel oh so supported. We recently had a dinner at our house with quite a few couples. I think I asked you, I don't think this is an exaggeration, three times probably. Mm-hmm. I said, what could I do to help?
Right.
Because I've just,
I love that phrase.
I've learned she feels this pressure. We're hosting this. She's trying to finish a couple of hot dishes that she's cooking.
And that just made me feel supported.
Stop buzzing around
what can I
and
do
doing
to help?
Things. You know, I might get Windex and start cleaning the glass on the French door that goes out to the deck. And in her mind's like, that is not a top
way
issue.
Way down my list.
And three times she gave me something to do. And and I actually, this is what's so cool.
He's a hard worker.
It's
he
not
knocks
like
things
unending.
Out.
Right. I tapped her out.
Yeah.
The
did.
Last time I said it, she said, I can't think of anything.
We're good. But that definitely makes your spouse feel supported. And then I try to also do this with Brad. And once again, it's not always what I would think. The way I can make him feel supported, sometimes I would think, why in the world would that make you?
It's often not.
Yes, true. So like one thing for him is that I've learned the hard way. He just got three new polo shirts. The man has learned to shop online. It's frightening.
Back.
Yeah. Things are coming here every day. Macy's, Dillard's. Yes. But he came and said, would you mind these sleeves on this shirt?
They're short sleeve shirts.
Short sleeve shirts. They're too long. Can you please hem them up about half an inch? And in my mind, I'm thinking, that is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard.
But as I stand there in the mirror looking, I'm like, I'm a very, very tightly wound little guy in particular.
He really is.
I just thought, oh, if the sleeves were just a little shorter, I don't like where they hit on my arm. I know there's millions of people out there that have never had that thought. You've never looked at yourself in the mirror in a shirt and thought, if just the sleeves were a half inch shorter. But I'm sorry, I blame it on God. God made me this
way. So in my mind,
brain
I'm just thinking,
is made this way.
That is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. And if I was putting it on my priority list, it would be about number 9,842. But I know
she'd be
that's
going
important
around
to
in
him.
A short sleeve shirt with sleeves that are just a half inch too long.
But I know he asked me to do that. I want him to feel supported by me, just like I appreciate when he says, what can I do to help? Mm-hmm. So I got out my little sewing box and, you know, turned it under. And to his credit, it
Here's
actually did
so
look
funny.
Better. It did.
When I put it on, she said, oh, that does look better. And I'm like, yeah, hello.
And I
so here, this makes it even funnier. I'm glad she's saying she was willing to do that because I just got a light blue one.
Yes.
And I walked into the room where she was
just
and
yesterday,
said,
folks. This happened.
I have a big request. Would you be willing to sew these sleeves up? It needs more than a half inch.
Yeah, it's going to be a little more complex.
But this is what we're talking about.
But that's the type
How
of thing.
How are you doing?
Right.
And then do they feel appreciated and supported?
Right.
And so don't say, oh, but I make homemade bread for him.
Right.
You probably love to make homemade bread yourself, unless he has said, oh, I love homemade bread.
Right.
It's funny how often we're doing things
that we
supposedly
like.
For the other person, but it's actually something you really wanted to do.
Great point, yeah.
So think, stop and think, have you formed the habit of trying to figure out, and not just guessing, draw them out?
Mm-hmm.
What would mean the most to them? So you talk about feelings. You try to make sure that the other feels supported and appreciated, because we're talking about the state of the relationship. Here's another area that I think can connect you on this level. Just, it's great to discuss and bring up a memory,
mm-hmm.
laugh. And if it pops into your mind, part of what has made our marriage better is I've tried more. If I think it, and I don't mean on criticism. Some
right.
of you, if you think it, you say it. If I think a happy thought, verbalize it,
because
mm-hmm. it can be fun to share that happy thought.
Right.
For instance, if it pops into my mind and I just think, I am thinking about the Putt-Putt place in Albany right next to the interstate ramp, where I'm not exaggerating, for 30 years,
mm-hmm.
every summer, we took the kids to play there. I'll verbalize it and say, ha, I was just thinking about Putt-Putt right there next to the interstate. It was amazing
with the big
how
waterfall
it was a family
zebra,
run
and the giraffe.
And they kept it looking good.
They
would
did.
Scrape the animals,
it was nice.
Repaint them, put down new green carpet.
Lots of happy memories there.
That's going to connect us.
Mm-hmm.
She loved, I know she absolutely loves where she grew up. And I understand why. I love it. And so that draws us together when I say, I was just thinking about Sherwood Baptist.
Mm-hmm.
And how much I enjoyed the services on Sunday there every July when we were visiting.
And I remember even recently you said, wow, I'm really glad that I got to know your parents.
Yeah.
Because I miss my parents.
Or even if I, yeah, especially if I bring up her parents and
yeah.
say, oh, man. I'll just say to her sometimes, your mom was a great mom.
Mm-hmm.
She really was. She was a fantastic mother-in-law. Well, don't just think it.
Right.
Say it. So you're asking about each other's feelings. How are you doing? You're trying to make sure the other feels supported, appreciate, share. A favorite memory, verbalize something you were thinking. And then we've kind of formed the habit, and it might sound silly, but I think it's worth something. I call it a daily check-in. So I get up sooner than Vicky, pretty early. And in fact, when I'm retired, I do not intend to get up this early. So it's no judgment on her that she doesn't, because I don't intend to get up this early when I'm retired. But I get up early, you know, shave, shower, read my Bible, I'm gone. Before she's up, and I'm at church, and then I pray. I try to pray for 45 minutes or an hour. But we just have this habit we've formed. Wouldn't you say it's a pretty consistent
oh,
habit?
Oh, yeah. I love it.
That we're going to touch base. So I call it a daily check-in around 9:30.
Right.
And just say, hey, how's it going? How's your day?
And
what's it look like?
It may last 45 seconds.
Yeah. Sometimes those conversations are as short as 45 seconds, 2 minutes, but sometimes it's longer.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I have longer. I don't mind it. She can say, oh, I was just reading this in my Bible, and
mm-hmm.
or, oh, this just, sometimes there's a happy thought. I mean, we just kind of lay it out. Well, I'm thinking about going to the gym today, and first I'm going to run by blah, 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 and says, well, I'm going to, and you might think, who cares? And that's where I was early in our marriage. This doesn't seem necessary. I was a minimalist. We will talk when it's something important, but I want you to hear, the more you talk through ordinary,
mm-hmm.
the better you will be prepared to talk about something big
True.
And difficult. Some of you are not practicing often enough how to even use words.
And I know for some, especially probably guys, this is overwhelming, like, oh my word, like I'm not used to talking this much. But once again, we're not talking about 30 minutes, an hour. I mean, sometimes it's 20 or 30 minutes,
oh,
but in general,
yeah.
that's not. I mean, it's just little check-ins along the way make such a big difference. And it shows your spouse, I'm thinking of you
yeah.
and I'm invested in you and I care how you're doing.
Because I even love it. If I'm the one, you know, sometimes she'll be the one that called because it slipped my mind. And so my phone's ringing. But sometimes it's me. And I mean, when she answers, she'll so often say, favorite person in the world, or she'll say, only person I would answer the phone for right now. Or sometimes she'll say, what a man, what a man, what a man, what a mighty good man. I kid you not, we've been married 39 years. That is still very special to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I try to do the same for her. That might be the first time we've touched base for the day, but it kind of sets the tone.
Yes.
So, I mean, the other day I was reflecting how encouraged it makes me feel that she so often answers, favorite person, only person, what a man, what a man, what a man. We're talking about talking. And we're talking about talking more often and perhaps moving in the direction of, on some level, discussing the state of your relationship. How are you doing? And looking for ways to make sure they feel supported If you think of a fond memory, you voice it out loud. You know, I remember, and I remember that vacation, and I looked forward to that.
Mm-hmm.
This might move your marriage from barely alive to beginning to thrive, as the threads of your lives begin to intertwine over what you might think is just kind of mundane and ordinary. The bulk of our lives are comprised of ordinary, but God can use it to make something beautiful in this thing called marriage.
This has been Thrive from Pastor Brad Bigney, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Thrive with Pastor Brad Bigney, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.